Blog Talk Radio.
For me,
I won't say it across the board.
And I think we need to get back to the
stage. Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another Amongst Friends Experience talk show. I'm your host, hosting tonight, the one and only Jeff Snyder, Pastor Owens, Deidre, and Paul Morgan. Tonight, I'll submit, but. And just to be the meeting we are talking about tonight, why is it so hard for women to submit, and why do we have to submit in the first place? So I guess I'm going to open tonight up with first point, which will be, where did we get that a wife has to submit in the first place? Heather, where do you think we get that whole thing at?
I know that it's biblically based. However, for me, what submission means for me and how I interpret it and believe in it, my first concept of it has come from my home and my upbringing and how my mother was with my father and how the women in my family were with their spouses, and also their submission to not just the husband in the home, but to Christ in their life, and the style of submission with a level of dignity and independence, but yet still being at the root of what is intended by that word. So that's where my first reference comes from. But I will say that submission for me does not include the characteristics that most people back away from for being a doormat or having to surrender my own mind or thoughts, but it causes one to lend themselves to trusting that someone else has their interests at heart and that the will of two people in a surrendered relationship or a submitted relationship would be both benefited by the end. Deidre, what are your thoughts? What is your first reference for submission?
My first reference comes from, you know, as you said, that it's biblically based, you know, with them saying that the man is head over the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and that's pretty much how I've kind of gone through life with, that's been my only reference, other than seeing my grandfather and my grandmother and mm-hmm. how she would support him, and he in turn would support her. Oh my gosh, I'm just all tongue tied today.
Mm. Well, that's good. I mean, in that relationship, I think that's where we all kind of we might all kind of have some reference point to that. Tonight, if you want to join us on this conversation of I Would Submit, But, please dial in at 760-683-2662. Again, we're talking about I Would Submit, But. You know, Deidre, one of the things that I think about when I think about submission, we do think about it just in reference to the husband and wife. But what are some of the characteristics that you think we've pulled away from now in submitting to the husband? What is the difficulty that we're having with that?
I think the main difficulty is that in submitting to a man, we automatically think that we have no voice, that whatever he says is what we do, and that's it. That's there's no going beyond that. If he says it, that's it. That's final. And then then you end up feeling like you've lost self. And so I think that with women's liberation, they feel automatically when you say submit, you're thinking I'm a lesser individual, and I have no voice anymore.
Right. I think that is one of the things that happens. Do you think that those who, one of the things that has always been very interesting to me, because one of the first areas that we've looked at on this is where did we get a wife has to submit from? It has always been interesting to me that we who have come out of a Christian or church background, we know where we reference that from, but it's always interesting how people who have not come from that place still have a discussion about submission within the marriage and within relationships. And I think that it's difficult for us because when we look at the bigger picture, there's an authority issue. Either there's been a lack thereof or never a surrendering to any kind of authority or reverence in that aspect. How do you feel about that?
All I can say is I agree. I mean,
you agree with me?
Yes.
Okay. That works out well for me. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you are on Amongst Friends, the conversation that is for the grown and sexy, and we're talking about I Would Submit, but as with anything live, there are always some technical difficulties, and so we're experiencing those tonight, but we want you to stay on with us. If you have a thought or a comment that you'd like to share about submission, please call us at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. And tonight we're talking about submission, and where we're starting with this discussion is where do we get the wife must submit from. And as we've already shared, our personal backgrounds come from what we've learned biblically within the church and within the realm of Christianity, and also our point of reference to that of our families, our parents, grandparents, and how they lived a life of submission that basically came down, I would definitely say, in the African-American culture, has been sort of a trend in our culture where the church has been more influential in how we live and what we do. Another part to that I've always been intrigued by is in the African-American community, because our men have been neglected in many ways in society and have taken the long way around to find their voice. Many times we as women have stepped back from our place of what we want and what we desire to lend ourselves to them and their dreams and their desires. And so that too plays a role in the level of submission that is provided and how we submit to the men that are in our lives and our husbands. As we move on in the discussion tonight, again, we want you to join us at 760-683-2662.
Deirdre? Yes? I'm here.
Just wanted to make sure you were still with me.
Yes, I'm still here.
I don't want to ride this ride alone, okay?
So we talked about the biblical standpoint of where submission came from. I think
yes, we've covered that. Yeah. We've talked about that tonight, and we were just moving. So feel free, Patrice.
Well, my phone is on crack. I have no idea.
I understand.
My phone is acting like this. But I think the fact that submission is so misunderstood, and to add my point of question, the only that I know about that from the very beginning of where it came from is the Bible, and but mainly, honestly, I can't help but say the very beginning, specifically that when I learned when I was young, that, you know, God and an authority over a woman. So as far as the submission part, yes, was it said by God? It was an opinion of someone who wrote that book, and it's by God. You know, but it makes sense. You know, so I think that the originality of submission came, like you guys were saying, was from how we were brought up biblically, you know, from a biblical standpoint. And then, honestly, if you look at it in the world, they do automatically have the man leading, you know, from the earliest that I can even remember, even if you look at the 50s and the 40s or whatever, the man did dominate the home in some kind of way, you know, not negatively, but, you know. So it on both sides, with the church and the world, as that we, you know. So they got it from somewhere, too, in other words. Am I breaking up, guys?
A little bit's okay.
Yo, are you here?
Huh?
Oh, you Joey, we would a wife have to submit. From where did we get that from? What do you think? Where was the first time you actually, you know, heard it? I was not able to answer. The next, how much more to or is he supposed to have for a woman is next to
I have no idea what you're saying. I can't hear anything.
Me either.
Am I breaking up like really bad?
Yes.
Yes.
It looks like we have a caller on the line. Tobias from Arizona.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Tobias? Thank you for calling Amongst Friends.
I'm all right. You know, I hear a lot of, like, women talk about submission. And, you know, I'm not the most biblical person in the world, but I know, like they said, the main reason that the man's ahead is because he answers to God, if I remember correctly. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I missed out on that. And it's like even in society, the man is held responsible. Like in the black community, the black communities go to the crapper. Who they blame? The man not being there. But at the same time, not every man's fit to lead. I'll be honest about that. But at the same time, women got to understand is that, like, a good leader, because I'm in the Air Force, I'm in the military. So, like I said, our base commander is a general, but his right under him is right-hand man is a colonel. But he going to talk to that colonel every time before he make a decision to get the input, because the colonel may still see things he doesn't see. But guess what? Well, every time that colonel walks in the room, everybody has to stand up, too. And I believe that, like, some people may get that misconstrued thing as being dominating, not having your own voice. But if a good leader is going to listen to his wife and take her advice, let's say if I was married, I may not be real estate savvy, but my wife may be more into the housing market, maybe smarter. So I would actually turn to her advice, be like, hey, okay, what do you think about this? And because she's more savvy in than I am. that's all part of being a good leader, knowing your strengths and weaknesses. Then you may come to a decision, but, you know.
Well, I absolutely agree with what you're saying, Tobias. I think that that's one of the things that we really want to focus in on tonight, because I think that it is true that it is a misnomer that it means that one no longer has a voice and does not have an opinion and becomes null and void of that. One of the things that we wanted to move into is how much authority does the husband have? Joe, how much authority do you believe the husband has in the relationship between a husband and a wife?
I think that it is, I think it's equal to what, how much he submits to Christ. I think that that's how much authority he has. It depends on how much he submits to Christ, how much he submits to the idea of him being protector of his family, and how much his family is willing to follow him, how much his wife is willing to follow him, and that all includes on whether or not he is a good follower and whether he is able to pull his family into what he is trying to lead them to. And I think that's how much, I guess, authority or power. I kind of look at it differently. I'm not I do believe the man is the head, but I look at it as an equal partnership in that, yes, I lead. Yes, I take the blame or the responsibility if things fail. Yes, I answer to God, as Tobias said, but I also think that, like, that it is a joint effort between husband and wife, but he only has as much power as those that are willing to follow him.
Absolutely, and I think that's a key point that you made right there, Joe, is that, you know, one of the things my dad used to always say, that you're only a leader if somebody's following you, otherwise you're taking a long walk. And
mm-hmm.
It is the role of the husband to be the head and to be the headship of the home and the family, much in the same manner that Christ has loved us and cares for us, and we follow him. So to that extent, we follow, you know, as women, we follow our husbands in that capacity. I think that the husband has the authority to make the final call, to make the final decision. But I think it works the same way it does in any relationship. And that's why submission is so important to understand, not just for us as women, but for us as a people, because we submit every day on our jobs. So we submit to things and people very easily without any frustration, and that's why it becomes difficult for me personally to understand why we have such difficulty submitting in relationships where the other person is supposed to be the person that loves us. You know,
right.
You submit to your boss at work, and you know they have no necessarily love for you. They don't have your best interest at heart as a whole person, perhaps as an employee, but not as a whole person, but yet you find it difficult in the relationship with someone who confesses loving you and willing to stand in the gap for you, but you can't submit. So, Deirdre, how do you see that, and what authority the husband has in the marriage as far as submission?
Again, I'm going to apologize. I'm in agreement with you guys right now. However, I'm a little bit more concerned about the technical fees that we're having, so I'm kind of in and out. But I do agree with what you're saying.
What was the problem?
The question was that we were talking about authority, how much authority does the husband have, and the question was pretty much, why do we find it so difficult to submit in what should be a loving and caring relationship when we have to submit every day on our jobs and in other arenas? We have to submit to someone who does not love us the way the husband man loves the wife, is not concerned with our whole being and the whole person, and making, you know, they have our best interests as our husbands, and why do we find it so difficult to submit there, but we submit in the workplace and in other areas of our life?
Okay. I actually just have something small for that. I think that a lot of us women, honestly, we really, really want to look at our husbands. If we're working every day like he is, we really do want to look at him as our equal in the home because, you know, I'm working all day and he's working all day. So if I come home, whoever get home first should be cooking. I think that we've moved more into a I'm equal with my husband type of thing, and we've moved out of the order of what the home, you know, what works best for the home. And then also, I believe women find it hard to submit because of who they're submitting to. Oh, we marry for different reasons, you know, and if you marry for reasons outside of purpose or, you know, anything that means something in depth, then I think that when you get down to the him, you know, ruling the home, he's not really hearing anybody. You know, he's honestly just out there. And that's when we find out, this Bama, you know, I have way better ideas than him. What in the world? What, you know, no, we need to do what I suggest that we need to do, you know. And again, you know, goes back to what I was saying, it's who you're submitting to, you know.
Absolutely. Joe, did you have any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from the whole notion of I'm the independent woman. And while, let me just say, starting out, I don't want to get no angry callers, that I have no problem with women being independent, women working, women being educated, women, you know, fighting for equal rights in society, in marriages, in sex, and sexuality, and all of those things. I definitely have no problem with an independent woman. My problem comes when an independent woman feels, one, that she can't find a man, and because no man can meet her standards, then two, that this independent woman says that I can't find a man because they're intimidated by me. And those two things have become a big reason why submission, one, is not being, I guess, presented correctly, but two, why a lot of women are unable to submit to their husband. And it's just this whole notion that I'm independent, why do I have to be the one to cook or to clean or to care for the kids? You know, the husband can do that. And I don't think that submission begins and starts with domestication or cooking and cleaning. I think it definitely just goes back to, am I willing to follow a man that I'm married to? Am I willing to follow this man while he follows, if he's Christian, while he follows Christ, if he is another religion or no religion at all, am I willing to follow what he says? And a lot of them say no because I'm an independent woman, or I make more money than him, or whatever. And I think that whole notion has started this trend of I'm unable to submit. And so I think that it goes back to being able to, one, define what submitting means, what it is for a woman to submit, and what it means, and ultimately also what a man is supposed to do, what a husband is supposed to do or do for a woman who is willing to submit to him. And like you said, Heather, is love. And if you if you're loving, then you wouldn't want to control this person. You're
absolutely
leading them.
We have a call on the line. We have Terry from New York City. Terry, welcome to Among Friends. Hello, Terry. Okay, we'll get back to that caller. We'll keep our lines open for you if you want to join us as we talk about I Would Submit. But, You can call us at 760-683-2662. Again, the number is 760-683-2662. Another thing that we want to talk about, does submission make us unequal? Are we unequal when we decide to submit? I think Patrice touched on this a moment ago in her comments, Joe, when she stated that women feel as though they're equal. I just have to say, you know, for me personally, it's a crazy thing. But I've always been of the preference that, you know, it's better when when a woman can submit, but submitting to the right man is always always better when you're able to submit to the right man and in the right situation. So you have to discern that, and it makes it easier. I'm old school with the whole submission thing, you know. I'm for the cooking and cleaning and caring for the home because I don't intend to change tires and take trash out and things like that. And so I don't see us as equals because we're different, but I do see us as giving equal sacrifice to the relationship. We have a caller on the line, and we're going to take that caller. Tobias, are you there?
Yeah, I'm back. I had a thanks for taking my call anyway. Good show, guys. I'm going to say this comment. I had a couple quick things. I'm going to get back to work. Supposed to be defending the country, but I'm on the phone with you guys. but the thing is, a couple of things. Men and women are not equal. Relationships are not equal. Usually, and I did some reading on this, usually equality, relationship, everything equal works with same-sex couples. We're not equal. Men and women are different. That's the big thing. And I'm like, if it's equal, when there's a bump in the night, I tell my woman to investigate it then, if everything's equal. I'm just kidding around. But also, when they say, like, the independent woman, the problem is a lot of our black women are not raised to respect male leadership because a lot of times their mothers have been burnt before. And they say, you can't depend on old man. You got to get this, this, and this because that man going to leave you. And like, they've been bred to not respect these men, and the men that have their stuff together, I tell ladies this all the time, a man is going to have a plan for his woman, his kids, and their lives together. He's going to have a plan. Not one of these guys that play it off a ear or want to struggle. And mind you, I don't have kids yet. I've not never been married because I didn't have my stuff together 10 years ago. So, and that shows leadership. But at the same time, men submit all the time to women. You know those married couples that got there? I had to go home, man, my lady, you know, go home to my wife. She technically sets the curfews. And a lot of times, the woman runs. Hey, I'm going to be honest. My sister's been married for 5 years, got three wonderful, beautiful boys. We were saying, women got to understand, they run the household. The smart ones just don't open their mouths.
There you go.
You know.
You bet, Tobias, I really like you now.
That's right.
I'm like a
device
a little bit more now.
Wait a minute now.
I totally agree with what you're saying. I mean, I definitely get that. Deirdre, what are your thoughts about that?
Let the church say amen.
Deirdre, here you go. Packing up, getting ready to go.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
I
also wanted to stick a pin in there and say, definition of equal is like or alike, the same rank and ability, evenly proportioned, identical in size, and having identical privileges and status. So, you know, we are not equal. And, you know, how we have been brought up to know what, you know, the definite for whatever the definition that we have in our head, it is really incorrect. It's incomplete. It's incomplete, you know, of what equal is.
Tobias taught me something tonight. Because I was all for the whole equality thing, but that kind of put a little damper in that for me.
Yeah, we are not equal by a long shot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I don't know the woman that's going I was just going to say, I don't know no woman that's going to wake up in the middle of the night, go see what's bumping.
No, and I mean, I think our responses are even different, and I think that that is, you know, kind of the way we're created and we're wired as humans. You know, if a man hears a noise in the night, he'll get up and address it, whereas most times women sleep through that, they'll lay through that. But if we hear a baby crying, we'll get up, and a man will just sleep straight through that baby hollering to the top of their lungs. And, I mean, it's not like every case, but very much that's some of the differences between us of what we respond to, what we react to, where we show aggression, where we pull back at, you know. Women a lot of times are ready to fire off and, you know, get emotional about situations, whereas men can think more logically and process differently to have more of a balanced and objective view of a situation mm-hmm. and not get so emotional and personal.
Mm-hmm.
About what they're looking at and dealing with. So I definitely think that, you know, we're not equals. I don't feel like I need to be equal with my husband. I think that my husband needs to be my companion, my partner. And I believe that just like Christ allows us to make decisions and give our way, at some point, ultimately, we have to surrender to his way and to his will. And I think that's the same thing with a husband. You know, one of the things that has always been a pet peeve for me is I don't mind stepping back. I've been in relationships where there's been strong men, and I've had to step back. And I remember one in particular, one day I went to a restaurant, and the service was poor, and we had kind of, you know, had to send a salad back, and then it was the water, some was in the glass, and he was just like, come on, get up, let's go. And I'm thinking, well, at least we have to pay for what we already had. And he gets up, and he walks out, and I see him standing in the glass, and he's like, are you walking home? You know, you better come on. And one of the things that I learned in being with him was that if he did it, he was going to answer to it. And I think that's a lot of times the difficulty and the hesitation that women have is if a man makes a decision, be it right or wrong, is he going to stand behind it and support it? Is he going to accept the consequences and be accountable to that decision? And that's where I think some of the difficulty comes in for us, because not all the time do men stand up and hold themselves accountable. If they make the decision, if they make the wrong turn, you know the wife or the party doesn't need to say, I told you so, you should have went that way. He made the ultimate decision based on what he felt was best, and if it doesn't work out, I expect him to be accountable to that and to make other arrangements so that we get to where we're ultimately trying to get to. Patrice, you were saying something?
No, Deidre was talking.
Oh, I'm sorry, Deidre.
What I was going to say is I think that, I don't know that ladies are, how do I say this? In my particular case, because I get a lot of guys who come to me and they say that I'm going to meet someone who is going to be able to make me submit, make me bow down or whatever because I'm so headstrong.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Interesting.
Very much so. I think the point that Deidre was probably trying to get to is men that, you know, want women to surrender, especially when they see a strong, independent woman and that she's headstrong. Joe, how do men respond to that when they see a woman that is very headstrong and possibly get that feeling of wanting to tame or kind of, you know, put in the proper place and as they would think?
Well, I think for different men, it's the stage that the man is in. If he's like, if this is a man, and I mean a man who got his stuff together and he wants a wife, and he sees this woman who is headstrong and independent, here again, he's not going to be intimidated by her being independent. Mm-hmm. And if she's headstrong and that's a quality he wants in a woman, then that's going to be attractive to him. What the problem is going to come in is if she is unable to let him be a man and she is unable to use her strong-willedness to benefit the marriage, to compliment the man, to compliment his leadership, to compliment his ego, to compliment his ability to give to her, to supply for her, to love her. If she's unable to do that, then he is going to go and find another strong, headstrong, independent woman that can do those things that she's unable to do. Now, if you got a boy or unprepared man, then he's going to play that game like, oh, yeah, I can tame you. I can put you under control. And most times it's going to be done either through, like I said, through games, through passive-aggressive attempts to make her jealous, or through sex domination, meaning that he's going to try to smash her off so good that she's not going to have any choice but to submit because she don't want him to go nowhere else.
Wow.
We have a caller from Virginia. Lori, welcome to Amongst Friends.
Hello. I actually had a comment. I agreed with, you had a gentleman that called in who made the comment. I think his name was Tobias. So I totally agreed with what he said. But then after that, the comment that was made referred to women surrendering, and I probably say it's more of an acceptance than surrendering to what a male decision may be as far as being able to say that you're equal or that you have a submission. If you have this female who supposedly is independent or headstrong, a lot of times I think it's harder for females who are headstrong or independent to that degree to accept that they have someone that can make a decision and it be a valid decision as if they made the decision.
All right, Lori, we thank you for your comment. Anybody want to give some feedback on that?
I don't think I understood. Can you be more clear, or maybe I'm just not grasping just the last part of what you said about the woman causing him to believe something?
Not causing him. Someone gave the example about being in the restaurant and having the poor service and the gentleman walking out and the female feeling obligated to have to pay a portion of the bill that was already, I guess, food that was already eaten or food that was already ordered, and him actually just getting up and walking out of the restaurant. Well, in that situation, it's more of an acceptance situation. So she feels obligated, but here he made a decision, and instead of going on with his decision and kind of following it based on what his feelings were or whatever the reason was that he decided to walk out of the restaurant, she felt on her own independent obligation to have to address the situation herself, where his situation, his reasoning may have been valid enough for her to just allow him to make that decision. So it's more accepting that he can make a decision and move forward as opposed to trying to contradict what his decision might have been and why.
Right, right. Okay.
Well, I understand what Lori's point was. I think I probably wasn't clear in what I was saying, is that I was more so shocked in that he had made the decision, we're not going to settle for this level of service. And I felt like, well, are we at least going to pay? I wasn't expecting to pay. It had never been practiced for me to pay, so it wasn't as if I was willing to pay. I thought maybe he would pay, and he would not allow me or him to pay. So I guess I wasn't clear in that. But I think that we do have to, part of submission is surrendering, as I see it, that we surrender to something, someone else, for the greater good, trusting and knowing that they have what is best for themselves and us at the forefront of what they're doing. And when a man views his wife
as he should and as was intended to love us just like God loves the church, I think that you can't go wrong. I mean, the right man in the right posture with the right attitude will cover you just like he'll cover himself. And he'll care for you just like he'll care for himself. So the decisions that he makes will not put you in harm's way or jeopardize what is best for you. He wouldn't sabotage that because the right man would believe he's doing that unto himself and not unto you.
Mm. Okay. What's the next one?
Yeah, I think we do need, go ahead. Oh, no problem. I was just going to say, I think it is very, very important that we understand, like, the whole dynamic of marriage. And I think with the whole submission piece, it just comes into, if everything is in working order, you won't have a problem with, the man won't have a problem with leading, and the woman won't have a problem with submitting. And it's not like the entire marriage or the entire relationship will be based on leadership and submitting. I don't believe that. I don't view it as everything is based on leading and submitting, where the man has to lead in every aspect or the woman has to, you know, submit in every aspect. I just don't believe that's what the whole principle of it is. I think that there's points and times where that comes into place, where we sit down as husband and wife and we discuss things and we make sure that this is going to make the marriage work. And then that, then the leadership is stamped and the submission is stamped. We've agreed to this. You put the fine, you as the husband, you are going to be held accountable for how this has worked. I'm going to submit and follow this exact plan and move from there. And that, and making sure that everything is spinning. And when things get out of control, the husband as the leader, okay, I take responsibility. Let's sit down, let's table this, and talk about this and see how we can make this work. And there, here again, there's the communication, the collaboration. We make a decision. We're going to do it this way. I'm stamping it as the husband. Are you willing to follow as the wife? I submit as the wife, and we keep it moving until, you know, we run back to the point where we need to come back to the table. And I think that's how it works. You know, I think, I believe that's how it's supposed to work. And anything outside of that is just either people are ill-informed, they're ignorant to what it means, or they're lacking in communication somewhere. If you are feeling controlled, that's not healthy. If, you know, unless you want to be controlled. And that's a little bit different. But anyway, you know, if you're feeling controlled in this realm, then, you know, that's unhealthy. If you as a husband feeling like your wife is trying to undermine you trying to step up and be a leader, that is not healthy. And should you be submissive in every aspect of the marriage, I don't believe that is the point of it. And should the husband take the lead in everything, I don't believe that. I just, you know.
I definitely agree with what you're saying, Joe, and I think that submission is far bigger than the husband making the decisions, because I know in the home I grew up in, and just what I understand about marriage and relationship, is that every decision isn't made by the husband. Just like in any other relationship where you submit to a level of authority or to someone's leadership, you still make decisions. You know, many times a husband will say, I'm not concerned with, you know, the wife pretty much covers the home, or, you know, where the kids go to school and what clothes you buy. I don't need to make a decision on that. I think that the leadership and the submission piece comes in when you say that ultimately, if there is something that needs to be addressed concerning this home, that's the person that will address it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's within the home, outside of the home, amongst the family, that ultimately the headship of the family, the one that each one of us can rely on, can go to, and can fall back on, even in our individual decisions for self, because a woman still makes decisions for herself. You still decide when you're going to get your hair done, how you're going to wear it, what you're putting on that morning, what you're planning to eat. Submission isn't about who's just making all these decisions. It's also about
right.
covering you and loving you and being a safe place for you. You know,
right.
you can submit to someone when you can hear their voice and hear their wisdom, and they
yeah.
can speak
yeah.
to you and settle you on the inside about some things that you're dealing with on your own. And so I think that submission is definitely bigger than this, you know, husband over the woman and you're a doormat and you're going to do what he says do. Anybody can do what somebody says do when they make them feel like doing what they say do is going to be beneficial to
right.
them.
Right.
See, because we'll listen, you know, did he tell people to go cross the bridge and bring him some cheesecake back? You know why they submit to that? Because ultimately it's going to be beneficial to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in relationships is women are not seeing the benefit in submitting to that man. And I would suggest that if you can't see the benefit in submission to the man in your life, he shouldn't be that man.
Exactly.
Because there's some benefit to that.
It's very vital that we understand that, one, especially if just speaking to the Christian, our Christian listeners, that if you have a problem with, if you don't have a problem with submitting to Christ as a woman of God, then you won't have a problem submitting to your husband, because you understand what that means. You understand what, you already know that you submit your will and your desire and your praise and your lips and your you know, everything, you submit that unto Christ. You won't have a problem submitting to your husband. And the same for husbands, because a lot of husbands are not willing to lead. They're not willing to lead, and understanding submission and as their role as submitting unto Christ, and then submitting to his command to love your wives as, you know, he, as Christ loved the church. If you both have those two things in mind, then you're going to do everything in love. And when you're doing it in love, there won't be a problem of control. Now, problems are going to arise, yes, but if you're doing it in love, then those things are not going to come up. And even to those who aren't Christian, don't have the whole Christian background or values, or maybe come from a different religious perspective or cultural perspective, if you do things in love, that goes across the board, no matter what religion, race, creed, or, you know, denomination you follow. If you do things in love, people respond to it better. And you don't want, who wants someone to cower before them? Who
mm-hmm.
wants someone to be, to feel ashamed to call you wife or to call you husband? That's not healthy. But if you're loving and you're communicating, there won't be an issue. And the thing about submission, here again, about submission and leadership, I don't think it's all inclusive for the whole marriage, but I think it's at those points, like what Heather was saying, is when the husband has to protect his wife from the danger, from the dangers of whatever the situation is. This is where leadership and submission comes in full force, because the husband is going to take the brunt of everything. Christ took the brunt of everything for us. He took it all for us, and I think that's, and we had to submit to be protected from that everything that he took for us. We had to submit to that. And I think that is where leadership and submission in marriage become the biggest thing. The husband is saying, let me take this. I know, you know, let me take this for you. Let me lead us in the right direction. Let me take those arrows or those darts or whatever, and you submit. You're still beside me, but you submit behind me while I protect you and the children or you and the family from these darts that are coming.
And then, too, it's also, he's actually, you know, if we're honestly looking at it, we want to add the fact that he should actually have a plan, and he should have a destination that he's initially trying to get us to. And that's also what you're submitting to. You're not only submitting to his every single whim of, you know, hey, move the car here, let's buy this one, hey, let's do this. But that's not even the foundation of the reason why submission is into play in a marriage. It's there because the man has a massive plan, or he's supposed to have a plan. And if he is the owner of that plan and he has the specs of that plan, then who's ever under him has to submit, because he's the creator of it. And you who are under him are the support, you're the influence, you're the encourager, you're the administrator, the manager of that thing. So in submitting, I often think of it that way. You know, what am I submitting to? So single women out there that are not, still single, we are actually in a good position when it comes to we haven't chosen yet. So when you do choose, think of that. What will you be submitting to? You know, what plan is this that you're saying yes to? You're not just saying yes to marrying him and waking up beside his fine behind every day, but you are also saying yes to his plan. You know, it goes further than, you know, him making simple decisions or life decisions for us, but it's basically his guidance on our destination, getting me to the promised land.
So, Patrice, you think you're ready to submit?
I've always been ready to submit. I think that it's very sexy to submit. I think that it turns me on. What actually turns me on is what I'm submitting to, you know? I want to be under authority by a man that knows where he is taking me, and I completely want to go there. You know, I mean, I don't want to be in the dock about where we're going, bruh. But I have heard the plan, I have seen it, I've seen you working on it, and I want to go. So yes, I think that it's very sexy and, you know, exciting to follow a man who knows where he's going.
Absolutely.
You...
I think one of... Go ahead, Cherie.
I'm sorry. I was finished.
Oh, no, I was just saying one of the comments that we had gotten from the chat room was talking about how many misunderstandings there are about relationships and marriage. And there really are, because I truly agree with what you're saying. I find it very... when I can most be a woman. I was sharing with a friend the other night about, you know, he was saying to me that he was having some difficulties, and pretty much he wanted the young lady to sort of just surrender in the relationship. And I told him that there is nothing more inviting or appealing to a woman than to hear a man tell her that she can rest and be a woman and be a lady and trust that he's going to care for her in that relationship and develop the ground, you know, the foundations for love to grow and to flourish and for her to be the best woman that she can be. And when a woman gets that from a man, it is so, it almost makes you as a woman want to please and honor that man in such a way that he'll, you know, that he'll never forget. Like, you want to be a shining star for him because you've been given the opportunity to trust.
Yes.
And follow. Oh, you know what I mean? You have that safety and that security and that protection within him. It's sort of like, you know, you almost want to just be like, you know, well, come here and let me do the things that you've been wanting me to do to you. You know, let's
just have it out.
It's on the top of the list of things to do, because when you feel safe as a woman and secure and protected and loved and nurtured, and you know that if something should happen or when something happens, there is someone that's standing there that's ready to pick you up you know, dust you off and support you and put you right back in that place to move forward and to begin again. When you have a man like that, you want to go home and take care of him. You want to submit. And I'm not saying submitting is just the cooking and the cleaning, but whatever that husband man may want you to do, he may want you to just sit there and be quiet. You'll find yourself doing that. I see we have some comments in the chat room saying drop it like it's hot. And I'm telling you, the right man doing the right thing is going to have the woman doing the right dropping it like it's hot. Oh, it will happen.
They actually get what they want. And that is the secret, the mystery of having a woman that is satisfied. If you would only have something for me to submit to that is powerful enough, you know, there is nothing, and when I say nothing, that is with a capital N, there is nothing that a woman would turn a man down for. I mean, why? Honestly, why? Unless she the wrong one and don't understand, you know, her position and don't understand the whole submission thing. But honestly, there is absolutely no reason why she would deny you of anything. Anything, you know?
Joe, where do you weigh in on that?
I think that is exactly what we would like to happen, but I don't feel like there's a whole, it's just a remnant women like that, like Heather and Patrice, and I think y'all are rare diamond treasures, because I don't see that many women out here willing to be what you guys are saying. And it's kind of sad, in my opinion. I think it's sad.
Go ahead, Deidre.
I have to say, Joy, that it could be that there are many women out there who think just like Patrice, just like Heather, just like myself, but you're in a position where you've been single for 20 years, you've been single for 10 years, and you've had to handle everything on your own. And so when you come into my life and it's time for me to submit and let you be the man, it's going to take some time for me to step back and say, hold up, let me go ahead and let him do what he do, because I want to do this. But I've been trained to go ahead and say, you know, like if the lights go off, because I've been doing it for 10 years on my own, I'm going to the box to find out why the lights are off. It's not because I don't want you to be the man, but it's just natural for me to go and check and see what's going on.
Absolutely, and I think the other thing I was going to say, Deidre, was that I think that there are plenty of women out there just like us, but I think what happens is you have to get to know that woman and have that conversation, because many times I know that men feel intimidated by me because they feel like you're independent, they feel like you're doing it on your own, and they feel like you have
not
it all together.
No man then,
huh?
That's not a man. If you find a male that is intimidated by your independence, then that's not, he is just a male, he's not a man.
But I don't think it's an intimidation by my independence. I think that sometimes men from afar off look at you and make assumptions like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see someone who is successful and doing what they're doing, I don't think that they're saying they're intimidated. Maybe intimidated is probably not the word, but perhaps a man may feel like, oh, she's too good for me, oh, or she would not accept me. And I'm saying it's easy to say, well, that's not a real man thinking of like that. But I think we all have insecurities. We all feel like we don't meet the mark with some people or other people. And I know that there are a lot of successful women that have husbands that do blue-collar jobs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they opened themselves up to that opportunity, and somebody took the risk to step out and do that. And so I think, you know, like me, what a lot of people, see, y'all going to be shocked when y'all hear this, because I know what y'all ain't going to believe it when I say it, but I'm telling you, I would like a dump truck, like a trash can man, That's like my ideal husband. Like a construction worker. Also, like dirty with the Tim boots and coming home. That's me.
Oh, shit.
That's me. Like a man that works like in the hotel industry, like moving the tables and the chairs and stuff. That's me.
Like
cool.
A stage.
And see why y'all all quiet?
No.
No, I laugh because I just pictured you waiting at home for your husband in some lingerie, and he come in with them, just his boots on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Correct.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about. Coming in with them boots on, and what that old song from the '60s say? Stand up in it. Stand up in it. Do you hear me?
Oh my God. That's why I got clocked, because I didn't want to say that over the radio.
You just had a bath drunk when he come in the house from heaven.
Yes. Let me tell you something. Dirty, sweaty, and all my, and trust me, he can be making, listen, because I know how to live within my means, so he ain't got to be no millionaire. He can make $25,000, $27,000 a year, because if he's doing what he's supposed to do in that home, see, my father raised me very differently. If he don't find a place for himself, he won't find a place for you. And my father used to always say to me, if a man can afford a one-bedroom apartment, that's where you better live.
Wow.
That's where you better live and be happy.
My God.
Because he's providing shelter for you. And when he doesn't provide a covering for you, he won't be a covering.
Yep.
Because he can't. He's overextended.
He's overextended himself. And so I think we do ourselves a disservice feeling like we need this big old house and all of that. A house you don't even keep clean. You're not even in it because you're working trying to pay the bills in it and ripping and running the streets. What is this to tell everybody else?
Sure,
let me tell you, you can put me over in Berry Farms. I'd be real happy.
Deja just said something about somebody said in the chat room that men being intimidated by women is a lie. I hear that a lot. I actually never looked at it like them being intimidated. You know what I'm saying? I've ran into them just actually handling me differently, or handling successful women that I've seen deal with men differently. They don't move too quickly. They're careful with what they say and do. But what do you guys think about that? Do you think it's a lie? Do you think it's an excuse for successful women as to why they're still single? That men are just intimidated, so that's why I'm still here, you know, single, alone in my big, huge five-bedroom house?
I really think it is. I think it is for, but I only think it's that for women who have this arrogance about their independence.
There you go.
And their whole mouthpiece is, I don't do this for no man because I can do it for myself, or I don't need no man. Like, this is the stuff that's coming out their mouth because, one, here again, either they've been dogged by men or whatever the case may be, or they don't know how to submit, or they don't want to share their success. And I think that is why they'll say, hey, I'm still single because I can't find a man because they all intimidated by me. Whereas what they need to be saying is, I can't find a man because I can't find one I'm willing to share all of this with. I work too hard to have somebody come and tell me what to do with my stuff or what to do with my thing.
Joe, you about to make me jump out the window and dance in the snow right here. Because
just like I said, I can be successful all day as a woman. You can be successful all day. And I can work my $30,000 a year job while you work your $100,000 a year job. But if you let me be a man, and you're willing to, and I do everything I'm supposed to do. I'm not misusing my money. I'm not misusing your money. I'm not out there cheating, but I'm taking care of my home. You're going to be happy as a woman. You're going to be happy to submit and you're going to, and we're going to be one big happy family, and it's not going to matter. But when you are unable, but when you say, no, I can't find any man, not even one that's even more successful than me.
Wow.
That's to you. That's a woman issue. That man, he is intimidated by you. And I'm talking about a man that's just taking out trash and you a doctor. He's not intimidated by you. Not no now a man is insecure. If he is insecure, that's different. But and that's different in the sense that he's just insecure that, like Heather said, he's insecure that you're going to be able to look past him. But he's not intimidated. He's not afraid.
Wow.
He just may be insecure. But when you have a complete man, no insecurities, no problems with you being successful, and he finds your success sexy, he's going to approach you, and he's going to shut down everything that you think you're going to be able to bring to him. But that's just a man I'm talking about with no insecurities. But intimidated? No, he's not intimidated. And that's just an excuse that some women use because they're unable to say, I don't want to share.
Wow.
I think you're very right about that, Joe. I mean, I think that that is something that we as women have got to grasp. And part of submitting does take place when you're able to surrender to things outside of you that are external, you know, that you can't control. And I think, you know, I always hesitate when I hear a woman, when I hear women say, I don't have a lot of female friends because women, you know, they keep a lot of mess going.
Right. That's a bunch of crap.
No, you don't have a lot of female friends because you're not a good friend.
You're not friendly.
Right, you're not friendly. You're not a good friend. That's why you don't have a lot of female friends. It's not because women keep something going, because if you're a stop sign, then it can't keep going.
You know what?
And I think that it applies the same thing to men. Now, what I will say is that I think that sometimes, you know, like we saw in the chat room, men see a woman from afar off, and they determine from the appearance, from maybe what they hear or see or perceive, her to be too much work.
Mm-hmm.
And a man will work hard for a woman, but he does not want to work hard to get a woman.
Right.
He feels like when he's stepping outside of himself, approaching you, you know, being vulnerable and all of those types of things, he's doing his part, and he needs you to reciprocate that. And a lot of times we as women, because we are probably, and I know y'all going to kill me for saying this, a little more mentally savvy in how we can manipulate and turn things, we play on that.
Definitely.
And men are far more black and white and less aggressive in that area. So they're like, you know, I'm putting it out there. I'm saying I like you. You know, we want to play the whole, you know, unavailable and so busy and so got this going on and just tied up. And that is a surefire way to show a man that you're unavailable. You know, if your life got all of that going on, and that's the part that women aren't getting. If you are just so happy and you can do it by yourself, then men going to step back and let you do it by yourself. They can show, you know, they'll use you for some sex and maybe a good time and to be an escort. But if you like, if you can do it by yourself, they're going to let you do it by yourself.
Yeah.
We could actually help the situation along. I remember my grandfather told my aunts one time, they are still single, you know, growing older. He said, you know, if you could just be quiet, you might be closer to getting a man in so many words. A lot of times we honestly do talk a lot, you know. We tend to, or because of how we know and the knowledge that we have, you know, maybe if, you know, a lot of the successful women would back down just a tad and allow the man to, like Joe said, be a man, you know, that would help as well for those strong, independent women out there. We got a call?
We have a call. Yeah, we got a call on the line.
Come on in.
Hello.
What's going on?
Amongst friends.
Hey, how y'all doing? You know, submitting is not,
you know, 60-40, 30-70. You know, submitting in this day and age is 55-45. Someone has to lead, someone has to follow. And, you know, I was raised by a single mom, and from the time I was old enough to do math, if we went out to dinner, she handed me the money to pay the bill. So that's how I learned. So anytime I go out with a woman, I pay the bill. There was another conversation around somewhere about when should you go Dutch, when should a woman pay. You know what, I don't know when that comes into point. But when you're dating somebody, when you're in a relationship, you can't. There is no equality, first of all. I'm one that doesn't believe in equality. That 50-50 thing, if you pull 50-50 east and I pull 50-50 west, guess where we going to get? Nowhere. We're going to be standing there looking at each other. So somebody has to give. Now, whether it's a woman or a man, I don't know. In my case, it's always been female. My significant other, when I met her, she had everything she needed except a man.
Sir, you got a significant other?
Yeah. she had everything she needed but a man, you know. And when we met, I mean, she was one of those women that called me one day and said, hey, I need you to come over to the house. And I'm like, what? And I get here, and she's putting up a microwave. And, I mean, she's literally, you know, putting in the electrical socket and putting in a microwave. I was like, well, what you need? She's like, I need you to hold this up so I can screw it in. You know, I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is it wouldn't have been completed without me, but she got far enough along that she'd have found a way to do it if she had to. But it was so much easier to say, hey, look, I know my man's over here. All I got to do is call him and ask him, and that's what I need him to do. Now, submitting, she gets home, she cooks. I get home, I cook. But we have come to a decision that, you know what, somebody's got to make a final decision. And 9 times out of 10, that's going to be me. I mean, that's because that's what a man's supposed to do. Does she make decisions? Of course she makes decisions. She's an intelligent woman. I would never stop her from making a decision. I would always take what she has to say into consideration. But I think early, way back in the conversation, somebody said, I used to tell people, hey, when stuff go wrong, it's always that dude. So if it's going to go wrong on my name, it's going to go wrong on my terms.
Yep.
I'm with you there.
Awesome.
That's it.
Awesome.
Thank you for calling in and sharing with us tonight.
No problem.
Thank you. Wonderful. Please
Thank
call
you.
Back.
Ladies, I had a question sent to me to my phone, and they said, is there a difference between submitting and obeying?
Submitting and obeying.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a difference. There's absolutely a difference. If I tell you to do something and you do it, are you obeying or are you doing what I told you to do? I mean, I think it's a play on words, but submission is not about obedience. In submitting, you're being obedient to the will of God, but you're not being obedient to your husband. Submitting is about surrendering and accepting a free trust. You know what I mean? It's about accepting a gift of leadership, not to be the one held accountable, not to be the one that has to make the sacrifice. Because, see, when you submit to a man, he makes the sacrifice.
Right.
So if somebody needs to stay home and take care of this, he's going to make the sacrifice and stay home and wait for the plumber.
Oh.
If somebody needs to make the sacrifice, if, you know, the car breaks down and somebody drives by and say, I have room for one, he's going to be the one to stay behind and say, take her. That's
exactly
what submitting is about. It's about being covered, being protected, having that safe place, having that trust, and having someone who not only will make a decision, but can make a decision that is going to be beneficial for the whole. Because when that husband man is in the right place and doing the right things, he's thinking about the whole. So when he's spending that dollar and saying, we're going to purchase this for the family, he's thinking about tuition and kids and wife and bills. He's considering all of those things. And as a helpmeet, the woman is saying, did you remember this? Did you remember we have our student loan payments? Remember we got to do this? And he's like, oh, thanks, babe, for putting that on point. That's one of the things I left off the list. You're helping him to make that decision. So he's not just making the decision. You're helping him.
Exactly.
Because you're making sure his list is there.
I think obeying is to submit to the control of whatever you're agreeing to. Because when you obey, you're submitting. I think it goes hand in hand. I think, again, that our original definition are off. I do think that. But, you know, if we go back to the original definition of things, then, you know, we have the correct. Like, a lot of people don't like when I say, you know, that's ignorant. You know, I think you're speaking in ignorance right now. A lot of people take offense to that because the first thing you hear is ignorant. What? You know, but honestly, the original definition is not that offensive. It's just lack of knowledge. And same thing here with obey. I think that if we would just, you know, go back to the original meaning of words, you know, without the offense, obeying means to submit to whatever that control, whatever, to carry out, you know, like an order or something. You know, submit to the controller of something, you know. I think that they go hand in hand. Hey, Heather, what's the next point?
The next point on tonight's topic list is, ladies and gentlemen, hold your peace, hold your peace, hold your peace. Are y'all ready for this?
Yes, yes.
Our next point tonight would be the who does the single woman submit to?
Oh, shucks.
Now, I know it's some single callers out there, some people, so call in, get on the line at 760-683-2662. Patrice, who are you submitting to?
I ain't submitting to no daggone body, daggone it. I'm a single woman, okay? I'm a single woman. I ain't answering to nobody, and so therefore the only one I'm submitting to is my savior. After that, ain't nobody else I'm submitting to. I ain't submitting to my pastor. Okay, let me back up a little bit. Okay.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, go ahead.
Say it again, Joe.
Just real quick, going back to the point, I was saying, ooh, because I'm stuck in this man is just sliding everywhere. And then somebody sent in a question to me, an answer to the submitting and obeying. And she said, I think submitting is a conscious choice and obeying is doing without question. I like that. I like that.
I'm obeying. No. But, yeah, I understand that. I understand.
That was good. But go ahead, Tree.
I mean, I think as a single, single for just a little bit while longer, ladies and gentlemen, single woman. Just a little while longer. I think that we do submit to, I think the rightful place for us to submit at the time or where we're single is to our fathers and to those men in our lives that represent fatherhood. For me, it was my father. He's passed on, but I have a godfather who has been very active in my life, all of my life. And so it's much like, you know, I'm over 30, and to this day, you know, sometimes I tease my godfather. I'll call him and I'll leave a message if he hasn't called me back. And I'll say, Larry. And the first thing he'll say when he calls me back, who are you calling Larry? Like, you know, because that's his role. We're not on a friend basis. And so that's where I think I submit to. I think I submit to my pastor because he plays a significant role in my life. And so that's where I choose to submit his leadership and what he puts in me by not only his teachings but conveying through the Spirit and in my heart. I think those are key. And so I think those men or people who stand as a figure of authority and leadership for us is where we submit.
Well, what do you do when these men, outside of being your husband, they actually ask you to submit to something that you know that you is not in you to do, or is something that you are not led to do. What do you do in those situations?
I think you need to be more specific
Like, let's say your pastor wants you to lead praise and worship, and you, although you can sing, you don't have you're not led to do praise and worship, you know. So therefore, you're like, well, I'm going to pass on this, pastor. Just because I can sing does not mean that's what I'm called to. I know what I'm called to. Can you choose somebody else, pastor? Can you choose somebody else, pastor? How you handle that?
Well, one of the things I think that's very difficult, and I think that for me, now I might get crucified for this, but I know in how I was raised, there are certain things in that kind of arena that you do because that's what the authority has asked you to do. So for me, if my pastor had asked me to lead praise and worship and I wasn't personally led to do it, I believe, just like with the husband, I need to trust his judgment more than I trust mine.
Well,
and
it's totally different from the husband. Let me just put a pin there.
Well, no, it's totally different from the husband, but I think that anybody that if I sit under you as a pastor, then I need to be able to sit under you and follow your leadership. And that doesn't mean that you're always going to make the right decision. Now, I'm not telling nobody, if your pastor tell you to run out there and start killing people who say they don't love Jesus, that you go do it. Because ain't nobody saying you to break the law. But I think that if you are there and under their leadership and they charge you to do something, unless it is totally going to go against what you can believe spiritually and you believe that it is going to conflict with what God has told you to do, because I believe that God can correct him. God doesn't need you to get him. That if he's telling you to do something that you shouldn't be doing, that God will handle him and give him a change.
A lot
of
times I think that when the pastor's main purpose is to connect you and teach you how to have a personal relationship with Christ. And if they continue to get in the way and not allow you to make a move without getting their approval, I think something is a little retarded about that. I think it's a little off. I just lost all power in my house. But
well,
I think
I
it's
think,
a little
but
off
No, what I was going to say is that I think that the first thing, though, with submitting is, with anything, that if you're talking about submitting to a husband, is that person truly a husband? See, are they in the right place? Are they in the right position? And the same thing for a pastor. Everybody that got a church ain't a pastor.
Right.
You just got a church.
That's true.
And then you have to determine whether or not that person is truly. See, if you can't hear your pastor speak and you respond to that, if you can't allow him to direct you and you receive that, even if you don't agree with it, you need to receive it and ask God to deal with you in that. And the choice then becomes, God, deal with me on this, or this isn't my pastor. Because when you begin to be defiant in any relationship where there's a leader, that person no longer can lead you and you no longer can follow them.
I honestly believe that there comes a time of where maturity, when you are now off, let's say, milk and now into meat, there has to be a level of where you are sent out, where you are now released independently and you are set forth to do deeds, as like the Great Commission. You know, the last thing he told his disciples was go. You know, go therefore and teach all nations, you know, do your thing. You know, you are now equipped and ready. I think there has to come that time, and there has to come a time where where your pastor has to make you responsible for making the decisions in your life, for you to hear from God and say, hey, this is my purpose and this is where I belong, and they respect that. Now, I'm not talking about babes in Christ and people that are just coming to Christ, but there comes a time where everybody grows up. Everybody grows up and everybody graduates if you're there long enough, and if you're equipped with those decision making, and I think that it's such a love for people to allow you to make your own decisions if you say you know what that decision is, you know, if you're still going back and forth. But I don't think that whole, you know, you should do this because I asked you to do it. I think that it's now, I now know where I belong. Okay, then go. Because now I have raised you. You know, as your shepherd, I have raised you, and now you are a mature sheep. Now you're no longer even a sheep. You know, so now I have raised you, and you can now make your own decisions. So that submitting to your pastor, although the Bible says submit to the Lord, not the church or your pastor. It says submit, single women, submit to the unto the Lord. I can see where you can mix pastor up in that because he is of the Lord, you know. And if you are not hearing from the Lord, you listen to your pastor. But what happens when you come to a point to where you are now hearing the Lord, you know? I don't think that you're now unteachable and you can't submit to anything. I just think that it, you need to be respected by knowing where your place is now in the kingdom of God.
But if you can't do, and I think we have to wrap it up and bring this back, and this is probably open for another discussion, but if you can't follow that man or woman of God, then that's not your pastor, that's not your leader. And if you just feel like you need to be free and you need to just hear the voice of the Lord and the Lord only and you need to walk in that, then don't go to nobody's church and don't have no leadership.
No, following is not always, okay, submitting and following, those things don't have to be in one. I can follow you and support you and not submit to every single thing that you suggest for my life.
No, but you can, that's called being a partner, not a parishioner, not a member, but a partner of the church.
How can I be a partner? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, I know our time is coming to a close.
Okay, so let's wrap it up with the last point then. Deidre, how many minutes we got? Is she still on?
We have three minutes.
You said three minutes?
Three minutes left.
Okay, let's wrap it up with the power of submitting just really quick. I honestly have to say that PJ said something the other night when we were all talking, and he said, you know what? He said he made the point that when Jesus came, he did nothing but serve, you know, and wash people's feet and all that. And yet in all that serving, he still had all the power. And I would like to parallel kind of with that with submitting. You know, when we understand what submitting is and when we submit to the right thing, then honestly that's where the power lies because you receive everything. You have no lack, you know, and that there's absolutely nothing missing from your life when you're submitting to the correct thing and you are now, you know, in the knowing of the mystery of what submitting actually does and then benefits, you know, what the benefits are. I'm sorry, my words are rambled. So I actually want to, you know, just bring that out, and that's what I want to end with. What do you guys want to end with?
I would just say that it's easy to do when it's in the right place, you know, when it's the right person and the, like anything, when the equation is balanced, that submitting is easy.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about next week?
Oh. Hey, Deidre, what's next week's topic?
Next week we're talking about truth, lies, and romance. Is there ever a good reason to cheat? And as long as we have established rules and boundaries, I'm not cheating.
Wow.
So is it okay for you to cheat?
Is it okay for you to cheat? Is there ever a good reason for you to cheat? If, as long as we have established rules and boundaries, then I'm not necessarily cheating because it's in our agreement.
That would be interesting. That'll be interesting. Okay. Well, let's all tune in for next week. Talk about cheating. When is it good to cheat? When can we cheat? Or is it still cheating if we're both agreeing of what we're going to do together? You know, I think that's an excellent subject. So let's go ahead and tie it up. Thank you for joining us tonight on Amongst Friends. We will be back next week, Wednesday at 8 p.m. Hopefully the technical difficulties will be straightened out because of this storm. I believe a lot of stuff has just, you know, went kind of whack. I know I've lost power twice. So thank you for joining us tonight, and we'll see you next week.